It's the Washington Post March by John Philip Sousa, a performance by the New York Philharmonic, led by Leonard Bernstein, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Well, it wasn't really on Live and Local. It was on Vincent Trouth's program, sort of your extra program for the day. But that means this now starts Live and Local. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, we'll be rebroadcasting a segment that we've, I think, run for 4 years in a row now. It comes from December of 2009, when four members of the Millikan University faculty jazz sextet played live in our studio. As it happens, they've got their annual holiday jazz concert Saturday night at on the Millikan campus in Decatur. And so it seemed particularly pertinent to air that. But first on the show, we will be highlighting yet another performance of Miracle on 34th Street. Last week, we talked about one Roger Cooper did that was happening in Charleston. That's over. If you missed it, you got a bunch of chances to see it in Champaign these next couple of weekends from Bah Humbug Productions. It's Live and Local. Stay tuned. Well, you probably recognize the tune, and that was intentional because Santa Claus coming to town. Santa Claus is sort of the theme of the movie, the play, both of them. Well, the play based on the movie, which was in turn based on a short story or a novel? I've seen both ways. Miracle on 34th Street.
I've seen it as a short story.
As a short story. That is the voice of Angela Schneider, who is directing the Bah Humbug Productions production of Miracle on 34th Street, which will be at Parkland College Theater in Champaign this weekend and next, 13th and 14th at 7 o'clock, and then next weekend parallel, and then some matinees at 3 o'clock. We'll run that all down a little bit. We also have some members of the cast, six of them, to give you some short scenes from their production. If you were listening to the show last Wednesday, I think it was, you got kind of the rundown on Miracle on 34th Street. But this is a little bit different, an adaptation from what Charleston Alley Theater was doing. They were doing what they called a radio production. Tell us a little bit, Angela, if you don't mind, about this particular adaptation.
Well, it's the timeless story that I think many from our generation are familiar with, the story of a kind old gentleman whose name is Kris Kringle, and he believes that he is Santa Claus. He looks like Santa Claus. He has a real white beard, and he is being put out of his retirement home and perhaps being sent to a sanitarium because nobody wants to believe that he is really Santa Claus. We have a little bit of a love story involving an attorney and the mother of the little girl who sends Santa Claus a letter. And ultimately, it ends up in the courtroom, and we have this very happy ending where we find out that the judge is going to make a favorable ruling.
And now you said that he believes that he is Santa Claus.
That's right.
Are you prejudicing viewers already?
One of my favorite quotes from the play is, "Faith is believing what common sense tells you
not to."
Not to. Yes.
Good thing you're not doing the line right
yourself. Oh, no. I was pausing for my actors.
Oh, very good. Yeah, yeah. Very good.
I knew they would chime in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the gist of it, isn't it? Kris Kringle is or isn't Santa Claus.
That's correct.
Depending upon who you talk to, and the belief of one particular girl is particularly pertinent.
Susan.
Yeah.
The role that I think brought Natalie Wood to prominence and ultimately led into her very successful career. Right, yes, Susan.
Yeah, she did pretty well, I think, Natalie Wood. And there's a role for a psychiatrist here, who I think you have sitting next to you. You're not the psychiatrist. You're a different
kind of doctor. I'm the resident physician.
You're the resident
Maplewood
physician.
Home.
Thank you very much. That's the voice of Rita Schulte. Why don't you introduce your characters here, Angela, if you don't mind, and then the first scene, and we'll just get into some of it.
Today we have with us Les Schulte, who's playing Judge Harper. And we have Gil Yanka, who is Halloran, and that is the judge's campaign manager. And then we have Tim Adams, who is our Kris Kringle. Jim Deeker is the romantic lead. His name is Fred Gailey. He also is an attorney. And then we have Kelly Barbara Connerty, who is playing the prosecuting attorney. She is Mara. And then Rita Schulte, who is playing the physician at the Maplewood home.
And can you set up this first scene for us?
I can. The first scene we'll do is between Dr. Pierce and Kris. And it comes very early in the play, and it sort of introduces us to who Kris Kringle is.
It's live on Live and Local from Bah Humbug Productions of Miracle on 34th Street.
I like your spirit. A real Christmas spirit is always a joy.
Well, you know that Christmas is big bucks for the department stores. This is the season where they make up for all the losses they've had during the rest of the year.
Christmas is more than big bucks, Doctor. Christmas is the one time that should be devoted to the pursuit of what we stubbornly avoid the rest of the year. Peace, goodwill, and helping others. What do you want for Christmas, Doctor?
I don't even think Santa Claus could bring me what I want.
Try me.
Well, okay, if you say so. Maplewood's medical facility could use an X-ray machine. Comes in handy in a lot of situations, but they're very expensive.
You shall have it, Doctor.
Kris, if I get that X-ray machine, I'll know you're Santa Claus.
Just look in your stocking on Christmas morning.
Kris, we've never really discussed your having to leave Maplewood. I want you to know how very sorry I am. I did everything I could, but the board overruled me. They just won't allow us to keep anyone they've deemed to be mentally unsound.
But I passed all the tests, didn't I?
I know you did. But I've argued for you all along. I just couldn't justify, you know, someone that they believe has paranoid thinking, whether you're a hazard to yourself or not.
You mean because I'm Santa Claus?
Because you say you're Santa Claus.
But it happens to be true.
And there you have it. Kris Kringle played here by Tim Adams and Dr. Pierce by Rita Schulte. Here on Live and Local, that production is going up on Friday the 13th, but it'll be a wonderfully lucky performance.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Parkland College Theater. This is not only Live and Local today, but it's also our chance as representatives of all of Illinois public media to come to you at this with this just about at the end of the year appeal to support not only this program but all of the programs that we offer on our radio stations, both our FM station and our companion AM station. Rita Schulte, a nice little tie-in, because Rita used to work here and used to be in charge of these pledge drives not so long ago, probably glad she's not anymore. Les Schulte, also in this particular cast, is very much a part of WILL, still as our corporate support director. We also have with us the director of development, who is Donna Beard. Thanks for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. I hope, can I just give a shout out to Bah Humbug Productions, too, because in addition to providing our program today, they also have made an underwriting grant to WILL to promote their production, and I really appreciate their support of WILL as well. So I hope that you as a listener will join them with your own support of this station today. Kevin, the dollar update, we are $70 away from the $11,000 mark today. So we've made some wonderful progress in terms of the dollar amount. Love to hear from you. You could help put us over the $11,000 mark if you can make a gift, a commitment of just $6 a month as a sustaining member. That is, set up an electronic funds transfer of $6 a month coming to WILL. Make that commitment on an ongoing basis. You could help us make this little milestone, and you could help solidify WILL's financial situation with your simple gift of $6 a month. So I hope you'll take action. I hope you'll dial 217-244-0025 to get something like that started, or you can go online to willpledge.org. And I want to thank our most recent donors for WILL-FM, John and Susan Ryan. They're in Champaign. I hope you'll join John and Susan right now.
And you said just about $11,000. That's
right.
A pretty good progress on our 36 in 36 campaign.
Right, $36,000 in 36 hours of pledging. So I hope if you're listening, you can join with us on this very focused campaign goal and campaign time period.
217-244-0025, the number of the call. Or you can pledge online at willpledge.org. If you do go online, be sure in the comments section to indicate who you're listening to and who you are particularly.
Right. We'd love to read comments, especially if you're making a gift right now during Live and Local. It's not an experiment anymore. It's been on the air a few years now, but it is a special commitment that this station has made to the local art scene, and I think it's real important. I'm sure you do too, or you wouldn't be listening, but I hope you'll make a special note of it when you make your gift.
217-244-0025, willpledge.org. You can easily make your contribution online. Thanks, Donda. And I've seen a couple of versions of Bah Humbug Productions' most famous production, let's say, which is of A Christmas Carol.
That's right.
And in fact, we here at WILL collaborated in turning it into a radio program several years ago and have been running it every year. And I enjoy being a part of that. And I wonder if, Angela, if you would just take a moment to talk a little bit about the production company and what it is that you exist for.
Well, the production company was started by my husband, Nick Schneider, and it was because he had this vision of bringing A Christmas Carol to the Champaign area. We, like many others, had gone up to Chicago on several occasions to see it at the Goodman, and my husband felt like, you know, we could do something like that here. So we formed Bah Humbug in 2007, and that was when we brought our first production to Parkland. We collaborated with Parkland to use their facility, and we put together just a marvelous team of technicians who developed the show into quite a spectacle that I think was we have heard from many patrons and theatergoers that they felt it was of the same high quality that they had seen up in Chicago.
Well, the one or two that I saw were certainly of high quality indeed, not least because of Nick Schneider in the role of Ebenezer.
That's right. Very artistic, creative man.
Yes, and articulate as well. What's your next scene from your current production?
Well, next we're going to move into the courtroom, and we will hear from first the prosecuting attorney and then our defense attorney.
And remind me, who's prosecuting and who's defending?
I'm prosecuting.
That would be Kelly Barber Connerty in the role of Mara, and then that means defending is...
I am defending Kris Kringle, who is the one and only Santa Claus.
Oh, and here we go again.
You are the romantic lead.
That's what they tell me.
This is a fantasy, by the way.
Well, those who have seen many Champaign-Urbana Theater Company productions, and which would mean you've seen Jim Deeker many times, the idea of Jim as a romantic lead probably tickles his own.
Oh, it does very much so, Kevin. Yes.
Well, let's continue from Miracle on 34th Street.
Please state your name for the record.
Kris Kringle.
And where do you live?
Well, that's what this hearing is to decide, I believe.
A very sound answer, Mr. Kringle.
Do you believe that you are Santa Claus?
Well, of course.
The state rests its case, Your Honor.
Well, Mr. Gailey, do you wish to cross-examine the witness? I believe he was employed to play Santa Claus. Perhaps he didn't understand the question.
Well, I understood the question perfectly, Your Honor.
Well, in view of the witness's statement, do you still wish to enter a defense?
I do, Your Honor. I am fully aware that Mr. Kringle believes himself to be Santa Claus. In fact, that is the basis of the entire case against him. The state declares that this man is not sane simply because he believes he is Santa Claus.
Well, I believe that is a reasonable and logical premise for such a declaration, Mr. Gailey.
It would be, Your Honor, if you or I or Ms. Mara here believed that we were Santa Claus.
Anyone who thinks he's Santa Claus is out of touch with reality. Of course he's insane.
Not necessarily. You believe yourself to be Judge Harper, Your Honor, and nobody questions your sanity, because you are Judge Harper.
I know all about myself, Mr. Gailey. Mr. Kringle is the subject of this hearing.
Well, I was only making a point, Your Honor.
And your point is?
I wish to clarify that if a person is the person he believes himself to be, just as you are, sir, then he's just as sane.
Of course, but he isn't.
Oh, but he is.
Is what?
I intend to prove that Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
This hearing is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Well, now that was abrupt.
But it, that's how I run the court, Kevin.
Wild.
That's how I run the
meantime.
What's that?
After Jim says that he intends to prove that he is Santa Claus, the crowd goes wild.
Well, of course, and it's a wonderful end to that particular scene.
That's right.
Not only the short scene we're doing here, but the scene in the play. And for those of you who've seen the movie, I'm sure that you remember the magic of the whole thing, and it has to take you back to your own belief in Santa Claus, or lack thereof, depending, and probably arguments you got into. And Jim is pointing to the prosecutor, who it looks like she is... in the right role.
A lot of people, the judge included, I'm the Grinch. I'm the only sane person in the entire city of New York. Everybody else is completely insane.
So terribly misguided.
Tell us briefly about the romantic situation. Angela, you said there is a romance that goes on here.
Right. Doris is one of the workers at Macy's, and she is the mother of Susan. And she is also Mr. Gailey's neighbor, and they have known each other for a very long time. He's very fond of her. She's a little bit reluctant, as a recent divorcee, to return his affections. And throughout the story, their relationship grows until, again, ultimately it ends up in a happy ending.
Christmas deserves happy endings.
That's right.
The third scene involves...
The third scene comes toward the end when Judge Halloran is... I'm sorry, when Judge...
Harper.
When Judge Harper is faced with his dilemma and he is being, shall we say, encouraged or coerced by his political campaign manager.
Look here, Henry. I don't care what you decide about old Whiskerpuss out there. But if you officially rule that there is no Santa Claus, well, you might as well start looking for a chicken ranch somewhere, because we won't even be able to put you in the primaries.
I'm a sane person and a responsible official. How can I say there's a Santa Claus? If I do, they'll have me derobed and try me for insanity.
Listen, Henry, do you know how many millions of dollars worth of toys are produced each year? Toys that wouldn't be sold if it weren't for Santa Claus. Have you ever heard of the National Association of Manufacturers? How do you think they're going to like your ruling? And how about all the people that are employed to make those toys? Union members, Henry. They're going to love you. And they're going to say it with votes. And then there's the department stores and the candy companies and the Christmas card artists and printers. And what about the Salvation Army? They've got a Santa Claus in every corner, and it's their biggest source of income. I'm telling you, Henry, if you rule that there's no Santa Claus, you can count on getting just two votes. Yours and that lawyer Mara's.
One. Mara's a Republican.
You know, that scene alone just suggests the timelessness of this play, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right. We are setting it as though it is contemporary. It's taking place today. We even have, people with a cell phone. And yes, we're incorporating all of that. I want to take a moment, if I may, Kelly. Kim. No, it would be Kevin.
Some name that starts with K. Yeah,
you know, I would like to thank the support that we have gotten from people in the community. I've been to the post office to get props so that we can look more authentic, and very, very generous to the Salvation Army. They have also contributed some props to us. And just wherever I go and ask, may we put up a poster, or, you know, we're doing Miracle on 34th Street. And people have just been so full of spirit because of the show, Miracle on 34th Street. And they know of it, and they are very supportive and encouraging of it.
Well, certainly thanks to them. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. Angela Schneider directing Miracle on 34th Street. Tim Adams is Chris Kringle. Rita Schulte is Dr. Pierce. Jim Deeker in the role of Fred. Kelly Barber Carnady is Mara, the evil one. And Les Schulte as the judge. And Gil Yonka as Halloran. Six of the many cast members involved in this production at Parkland College Theater. The performances take place Friday and Saturday this week, and then next Thursday.
And Sunday this week also at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so those Friday, Saturday at 7, Sunday at 3, next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7, and then Saturday and Sunday at 3.
That's correct.
If you want to get tickets, you can email tickets@bahumbug.biz, that's B-I-Z, call area 217-621-8276, or you can show up at Parkland Theater and get them at the door. Thanks, everybody, for coming in on Live and Local today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And actually, Angela's mention of community support is a nice segue to our brief conversation, Donda Beard, about the importance of community support for this program and for all of the programs here at Illinois Public Media, and particularly for these next 36 hours, or now more like 24,
exactly.
Getting close to it. For our music programs.
And you know, we picked this time frame, 36 hours, $36,000. It's rather ambitious for us, but we figure December being a month in which many people decide to make gifts to not-for-profit organizations like ours, it was a good time to ask. So if you are getting ready to make your list, if it's something that you don't want to make a phone call right now, please include WILL, Illinois Public Media, in your year-end giving and send us a check at the end of the year. We just want to remind you that this is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service here on WILL-FM. And, of course, we've got a parallel service on WILL-AM and another parallel service on WILL-Television. And it simply takes cash to run these services. We appreciate the tax-based support we receive from the federal government. And also, we still receive a little bit of support from the state of Illinois. And we're grateful to our license holder, the University of Illinois. But we really do count on you as a listener for the biggest single part of our operating budget. You, as friends of WILL, provide 36% of this station's operating budget, and we like it that way, but that means that we occasionally need to ask for your support. So we're asking now, and you can make a gift by dialing 217-244-0025. We're asking you to do what you are able to do right now.
$36,000 in 36 hours was the goal. We've chewed up a good number of those hours, but we've also brought in a good deal of money thanks to all those who have called or gone online so far. Why not be the next person to do that. The phone number is 217-244-0025. We at Live and Local will certainly appreciate it, as all of us will at Illinois Public Media, as will all those who listen to our programs. Online, it's willpledge.org. We have brought support not only from our listeners, but also from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, featuring in-plant area rug cleaning using the master rug cleaning method. Sweeney Brothers at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. Our next segment will preview 4 years early, actually, a concert that's happening this Saturday night at Millikan University in Decatur. It's the annual holiday jazz concert by the Millikan University Jazz Sextet. I say 4 years early because 4 years ago, almost to the day, four members of that sextet were here live in our studio. They happened to be doing a Saturday concert that week, too. And we're going to rebroadcast that segment right now, including this live performance of their rendition of a familiar carol.
Thank you.
Bring a torch. Jeanette is Isabella, the two words missing from that. And I love the way you introduced that, Randy, as a jazz standard from the 17th century. But, you know, that's the thing about jazz standards, that they can come from anywhere.
I guess so.
But yeah. You know, they usually don't go back that far.
Not quite.
Those were four members of the Faculty Jazz Sextet at Millikan University here on Live and Local. Dave Burdick, the guitarist, Randy Raymond on the flugelhorn, and Chris Nolte on the bass, and the sax player was Perry Rask. So I assume we can all gather from that tune that there will be some Christmas-type music on the program, but will it be exclusively that? Or
yes, it will be.
It will.
Yes.
So lots of Christmas jazz, basically.
Yes, definitely.
Wow. So is there that much, or have you just taken some of these tunes and arranged them?
Yeah,
yourself?
We've been Dave and I, and I guess Perry too, have been arranging some things.
Was this one of your arrangements?
This is one of mine, right? And I've got four or five, and Dave has a few, and we're just getting it together for Saturday. You know.
And actually, I've run into a couple of groups, or talked to directors of a couple of groups lately that have played some compositions of yours.
Really?
Not jazz.
That could be.
Millikan, at the Millikan, the Vespers.
Oh, right.
They did at least one of your programs.
Yeah, I write.
One of your pieces?
I write for that.
You don't suppose that wind quintet is out there making the rounds?
No,
do you?
I don't think so. Oh. Yeah, not yet. I write a lot of non-jazz things. More non-jazz now than jazz, but I still like to write and arrange for jazz groups as well.
I'm blanking on what the first group was, but Brad Holmes told me that you were doing a couple of your pieces.
Yeah, well, they usually have an instrumental piece in Vespers, and I traditionally write that or arrange that. So that's what he was talking about. Although I have done some choir things for Vespers before too.
And Perry, I'm looking at a little bit in your bio here. I had just asked Dave about some of the commercial, variety of commercial music he was working on. You coach some of the commercial ensembles, it says.
Oh, they've got the old bio.
Yeah. What does that mean? Is that an old, you don't do that anymore?
I've got the jazz band, second jazz band. I used to do a lot of the combos, but...
Well, what does that mean, though? I mean, what are commercial
jazz
ensembles?
Combos. It could be jazz combos. It could be even rock bands, if we have those people that are in that ilk. You know?
Is that really dependent on who the students are in a given year and who
and
wants to get together?
And what they want to play and who they want to play with and what they audition for.
So commercial music covers...
Everything.
I think we defined it as music that makes money.
Yes.
In the end. So, I mean, realistically, a kid who comes to work at Krannert and venue management, booking, I mean, it's not so different, right? Whether you're booking a classical artist or a rock and roll artist, I mean, it's still a venue. You still have contracts, management, and all of that same stuff. So I think that was kind of how we came at that. You know, sure, in the vernacular, commercial probably means rock and roll or pop. But as far as preparing our students goes,
pretty much anything.
Well, anything, and think about it. You know, how much do you think in a small city orchestra your violinist makes? You know, per service, probably not even three figures, right? Take that same violinist and teach him how to book weddings.
Then it goes up.
Way up.
So it's not only working with groups of different kinds of music, but teaching people how to make their way in music.
Do the best you can. It's changing so quickly, and there's kind of a really just a universal lesson for anybody young right now, you know, projecting yourself in the internet world. I mean, that's just really important, and people are doing their resumes that way now and all their personal publicity, and you kind of, you know, give them the best, broadest skill set you can and show them how to present themselves and how to make contacts. You know, people are still networking. All that hasn't changed. It's just all different. And the world of business has changed too, you know, and in the kids who are going to manage their own careers or become involved in the business of music have that entrepreneurial spirit. It's not, you know, big corporate world anymore.
Well, it's just great that Millikan is even doing that. I mean, if, for example, University of Illinois School of Music, it's a great school of music, but I'm not aware, maybe outside of the jazz department, of anybody that's paying any attention to that, you know?
Well, I think Millikan was one of the first schools in the Midwest to start getting into this commercial music idea. And that was that was many years ago.
But I mean, even just teaching your students to prepare themselves to how to make a living. I mean,
right,
even if
right.
you're in the class, want to be a classical artist, I mean, if there's anything to be, you know, potential slam against a lot of the traditional schools of music, everybody wants to train a violinist to be a soloist. It ain't going to happen.
Right, right.
You know,
right,
that's nice to think about it for 4 years, but when you get out and you have no skills other than playing your instrument, what are you going to do?
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, we're at an interesting point in just the world of education. You know, I'm not saying we're all immediately on our way out, but you know, we aren't exactly the young group of faculty that'll be coming in. And I mean, we're from the generation of, I guess, if I were gonna just synopsize our attitude that was drilled into us, take care of the music, and the music will take care of you. Become a good musician and you will be rewarded. But that was also an era where every place was running live music. I mean, music was everywhere. Gigs were plentiful. I literally walked out of school the day I graduated, and starting that weekend, I was playing six nights a week. And for the next 2.5 years, that's all I did. You know, try doing that now.
Well, you do have one member of the younger generation in, of your group here, a younger generation, Chris Nolte. Are you learning some of that in the jazz program at the U of I? Because you're in the doctoral program here.
Definitely. I think a lot of times the jazz program is kind of on the vanguard of that as far as at the University of Illinois. There are definitely some music business classes that are taught, but they have a tendency to be kind of geared towards the jazz side of things. And I think kind of going along with what Dave said, I think it's kind of both things are told to us at this point. It's like, you know, take care of the music first.
Gotta
I think that still is paramount. But now they're also saying, but know how to market yourself, know how to build a website, know how to scrounge around for gigs and cold call people or whatever it takes to work. Because, you know, I've thought about this before. You know, I'm getting ready to be done with my degree, and there used to be a time where as a bass player or a jazz musician specifically, you could get out of college and go into like a big band and tour 200 days a year, you know, the Maynard Fergusons, the Woody Hermans, the Buddy Riches, and all those guys are dead, you know, like those gigs don't exist anymore, you know, so unfortunately for somebody like me, you know, who wants to be a player, you know, I can't look forward to that kind of situation, so I do have to say, well, what can I do to make myself marketable along with my playing? I've got to be able to do all this stuff.
Well, you're doing one aspect of it right now. You're teaching at Millikan.
I am.
So congratulations in advance.
Well, thank you very much.
Of what's obviously going to be a really successful career.
I hope so. Yeah.
As a point of clarification, I think it might go back to, we talked about commercial music at Millikan, but actually the department is called Music Industries.
Music Industry Studies. Yeah, that's the,
and under that, we have commercial music.
Music business.
And music business, which are two separate things. So students can choose one or the other. Some of them choose to do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get a few.
Performing is still important to
Well,
us.
If you don't, if you have nothing to market,
right.
All the marketing in the world won't do you any good.
Yeah, well, some people try that.
Yeah, I know. We could give lots of examples of some who've actually done it.
Well, I kind of got a front row seat to the new order. I grew up outside of New York City, and as I was a young guy coming up, learning the craft, it was still the world of the jazz player, and the jazz players got all the calls to do all the other stuff. So the Long Island wedding gigs, the whatever, any club dates, anything. If you'd be a jazz player, but yeah, your phone would ring because you were a jazz player. You were thereby deemed able to play any gig. And
read, and there are things you could do that some of the rockers probably couldn't do.
Yeah, but then in the late 70s and early 80s, the landscape really changed,
right.
And pretty soon you didn't get the call to play the salsa gig anymore because there was a cat, and that's what he did.
He played salsa.
Right. That's all he did, and he was really good at it. And, you know, factor that out over all the variants of style that you can imagine going on the East Coast, and jazz guys just weren't answering the phone anymore. Not like it used to be.
Well, let's go back to jazz before we run out
of
time
here.
Yeah,
please, before we bum everyone out.
Yeah.
This is members of the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet. What have we got next?
This is something from the Gregorian songbook.
Dark Ages.
Dark Ages. It's called O Come Emmanuel, a very famous hymn that everyone knows. And it's going to feature everybody, but firstly, Chris on the big boy over there. Thank you.
That's a rendition of O Come Emmanuel performed by four members of the Millikan University Jazz Sextet, all six of them going to be performing Saturday night, their annual holiday jazz concert, at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus in Decatur. That concert starts at 7:30, always quite popular. It will also feature a couple of vocalists, both of them Millikan alumni. Angel Spiesha, as she was known in previous years, she has apparently got married. Her last name either pronounced Slikas or Sleekas. Also, John Music, who sings also in the group called Chapter 6. They'll all be performing on the concert Saturday night. And this performance was live in our studio 4 years ago, and they happened to be doing their holiday jazz concert at that time. It seemed quite workable to rebroadcast it. Special for today, today being also one of those days when we ask you, our listeners, to support Live and Local and the music program in particular, as well as our news and information program at Illinois Public Media, WILL-FM and AM. I'm Kevin Kelly, the host of Live and Local. I want to welcome back Donda Beard, who's our development director, who has the wonderful task of overseeing all of our fundraising operations, including this one.
Well, it's my pleasure to ask for gifts for Live and Local because I think you guys do a great job, A, and B, I think it's a really important thing that public radio stations like ours can do for their arts and cultural community. You know, I got to listen to at least part of that last tune on my headphones, and I just realized it sounds great. And part of the reason it sounds great is that there are some pretty darn good players on that last cut, but also because Mike Pritchard, our operations director, you know, is kind of passionate about live music himself, and he made it sound great because of the way that he recorded it and mixed it so that we could bring it back to you today. So it was great arrangement of a traditional carol. Great to hear those jazz arrangements, but we want to give you this opportunity to realize that behind the scenes, it was Mike's work and microphones and recording equipment that made it possible to bring it to you today, because as Kevin said, that was a performance from 4 years ago. When you become a friend of WILL, you help us pay for lots of those behind the scenes kinds of expenses like microphones and recording equipment and talented operators like Mike Pritchard. I hope you agree that this kind of reflection of our community's artistic community is important, and I hope you'll make a gift right now. I hope maybe you'll even become a sustaining member of this station, investing $10 a month, for example, as a member of WILL. If you could call 217-244-0025 and commit to a monthly gift to WILL that comes out as a electronic funds transfer from your checking account, we can together sustain this arts and cultural service for the community. I hope you'll do that. The value is tremendous. I know you agree to that. I hope that you can make an investment in this service right now with your gift.
Similarly, it is that time of the year when I know many people consider making their largest contributions to various arts groups and other agencies. And, we would be honored if you would consider WILL as a possible recipient of what we would call a major gift.
Absolutely. I know that just today that we have had gifts of $1,000, $2,000. I saw a gift of stock come in today for about $1,700. So each of us does their own thing, what we are able to do for WILL. But if you are able, I hope you'll think of us as a community cultural institution. And if you can make a gift of $100 a month or a $1,000 gift or consider a gift of stock, you can certainly call me during the workday to talk about that. But we invite your investment at any level. And if you can make a major gift of $1,000, terrific. Now would be a great time to do that. You can make it by phone, 217-244-0025. You can go online to willpledge.org to make your gift, or you can call me during the day here at the station if you'd rather.
244-0025.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, it's easy to get mixed up between our stations. 217-244-0025, or go online and contribute at willpledge.org. If you do make the contribution online, on the comments line, let us know what station you're listening to or what program you are particularly enjoying or what type of music, and so on. Thanks, Donda. Our program is supported today not only by our listeners, but also by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. We'll return now to our rebroadcast of this live performance by the Millikan University Jazz Sextet, four of their members, and I'll let their guitarist, Dave Burdick, introduce the last tune.
Well, let's do one that is from the Hit Parade.
Actually,
you know, I am almost ashamed to admit this, but I'll say it. I listened to that the new Bob Dylan Christmas album, which is pretty funny, but it's cool. It's really tongue in cheek. I think too many critics went off on it thinking it was totally serious, but he did. Do you hear what I hear? You know, in his own and do you hear what I hear? You know, that kind of thing.
That's pretty good.
I just imagined that as an up tempo swing tune, so I zipped home and arranged it.
And you could have a future as a Bob Dylan impersonator there if you want.
Ooh, pinch me. Yeah, I've been called worse, but...
Why don't you sing this one, Dave?
Okay. Yeah.
Here we go on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. And they make it back to the tune, Do You Hear What I Hear? Four members of the Milken University Faculty Jazz Sextet, Randy Raymond on trumpet, Perry Rask sax, Dave Burdick on guitar, and Chris Nolte on bass. They'll be joined by their other colleagues in a concert Saturday night at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Milken University campus in Decatur. The concert starts at 7:30. For more information, Google Kirkland Fine Arts Center. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks for joining us on the program. And just a real quick reminder that we are attempting to raise $36,000 in 36 hours, a number of those hours gone, a lot of money in, a lot of money still to bring in.
Our last total, $11,220. So you can see that we've made some good progress today, but you can help get it closer to $36,000 in 36 hours with your call to 217-244-0025.
Or give online at willpledge.org. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with another show live with the Flower Jacks tomorrow. This is 90.9 WILL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois.